This is Aunt Rebecca. Welcome to Gardening Related.
This is Elizabeth. How is the weather in Oregon today?
Well, it's kind of misty and chilly and drizzly, which is exactly perfect for seeds.
Yes, perfect spring weather. We want it dreary.
We want it dreary and good. The daffodils are all out. Some of the plum trees, the ornamental plums are blooming. It's starting to be gorgeous.
Oh, that's such good news. Oh my goodness.
I know. How about you? How's it there?
Well, I was outside today and I was freezing because, well, it frosted this morning.
Oh.
And we've been having like this amazing spring and it's been so warm. So I figured, 50 degrees, you know, I'll wear a light jacket. This should be fine. Well, the wind is just ridiculous today, and it's making it so cold. So even though it looks beautiful and sunny and bright, it is not.
Freezing.
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Yes.
But
last episode, I was bemoaning where my crocuses were.
Yes.
And they're up.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Do you keep a journal or a diary?
Yes, I do. It doesn't get updated as often as it should, but yes.
That's okay. No one except maybe, I don't know, Thomas Jefferson had a great journal and he didn't have very much to do. You know, he was just sort of bored. He had no television to watch. So, I found that sometimes when I did keep journals, what I kept were what was up, mm-hmm. when it was up. What was blooming with it, so that I knew, like, let's say now that your crocuses are up, you look around and see, are your daffodils up too?
No, the daffodils are just poking through, and I planted them kind of next to each other. So, you know, we were walking around, and it was my first barefoot day.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was so exciting. This was when the weather was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And not fickle like it is now. But I was walking around. It was gorgeous. And the lilac is budding.
Okay.
So stay tuned to find out what color the lilac is, whether it's purple or white.
Fingers crossed, that's right.
For purple?
You want purple? White also smells really good. It has a really distinctive, beautiful smell.
That's true.
And you can always get a purple.
That's purples true.
Purples are too. So whatever you have is going to win. I forgot that it's very exciting to not know.
Oh my God, I have no idea. I'm going into the spring and I'm planting seeds and I have no idea what colors are going to come up that's already there. There's a very full garden by the garage that was blooming beautifully in the fall.
Wow.
It looks like some stuff is going to come up in the spring, but I have no clue.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll
I think it's been unattended for many, many years.
Sure.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I remember seeing some peonies in your yard.
Really?
Yes. I remember telling Forrest and you that there were some peony leaves when I came in the fall for your wedding. Now, you've got a birthday coming up. What are you going to do for your birthday?
Oh, well, it just so happens that the universe has aligned. And
oh, my goodness.
My birthday is falling on the gardening expo right in town.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, the world loves you.
Right? Isn't that the coolest?
Oh, my God.
So we're going to be walking around the gardening expo and checking that out. And Forrest might be buying me some plants for my birthday.
Forrest better be buying you some plants for your birthday. Have you got anything lined up yet that you definitely want, you know, that you...
Well, I am getting chickens.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Official. We put in the order today. We're getting six. We're getting two Rhode Island Reds.
Good. They're friendly.
Two Easter Eggers. Yes, that's why.
Good.
So the Easter Eggers are going to lay pretty eggs. And then also two Sapphire Gems, which are like a blonde chicken.
How interesting.
I think it's like a Slovakian chicken.
Okay.
So they're known to be very good in cold weather. Like they're good. Hardy.
Good.
So I figured, you know, it's cold here. We're in upstate New York. Yeah. So yeah.
It's colder.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Now, have you got a place to house them?
No, that is going to be Forrest's spring break project.
Oh, yes. He loves building.
Yes. He's going to build me a coop.
And listen, Elizabeth, we let our chickens go 1 year and they disturb the mulch and they will eat all of your little baby seedlings. So you can't let them free range all year. You can let them free range in late fall and winter. Well, winter, you know, but you can't let them free range when your little baby seedlings are coming up. You won't have any.
Got it. Yeah, we are. I am planning on building or putting up a fence around the vegetable garden because of Mr. Groundhog.
Okay.
And
oh, good. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Because we built our garden in his backyard without knowing it.
Go figure.
But also he has the compost pile that's even closer. So, you know, I'm hoping I can appease him with some scraps and some of the, you know, the less pretty lettuce leaves I'll leave right at his door.
Perfect.
And just, you know, we're going to be best friends.
Yes, yeah. You're going to take care of him.
Yes, yes,
that sounds
exactly.
like a plan.
It sounds like a plan. The right thing.
Yeah. Great. And maybe it's a her. You know, I was thinking about, you said she was very big and chunky, or he was very big and chunky. Maybe she's pregnant.
Oh, it could be babies. Oh,
yeah.
I kind of hope it is. I know that's bad. I know I shouldn't.
That's okay. You could be a veterinarian person instead of a gardener. Oh, that's funny. All right,
well,
good.
It turns out I built a nursery. It's not a seed nursery. It's a groundhog nursery.
It's a groundhog nursery. We'll figure it out together.
We'll figure it out. This is actually going to become groundhogs related.
No, it's not. I don't know enough about groundhogs to spit at, let alone talk about for, you know, more than one episode. Yeah, really. You can have the spinoff. Okay, good. How are your seeds?
They are good. Oh, so I turned off the heating pad.
Yeah.
And I replanted the lettuce. And because that, it was like 2 weeks and nada.
Nothing.
So, yeah.
You just had bad seed.
Maybe.
How'd you do?
Maybe. They're still not up. It's been 3 or 4 days.
No. Go get new seed.
Okay. Okay. I have a couple other lettuce breeds, so I'll just sow those.
Try those.
Yeah.
Try those. And they should be up, even with heat, they should be up in 2-3 days max.
Oh, wow.
Max.
Okay.
Okay. Lettuce is a quick thing. Go ahead.
Flora's joining us.
Flora. Hi, Flora.
Yep. She's not saying much, but she's here.
No, Flora doesn't say much.
She's not an auditory.
Presence.
She is a presence. Yeah.
She's a presence.
But my peppers are up.
Good girl.
Yeah.
They weren't up last week. Good girl.
Yeah, they just popped. I'm getting like, you know, they're like raising their heads. It's just like the very beginning exciting stage.
So you've got the
crowning.
Yes, you're going to get the baby leaves, and then you wait until they get the real leaves before you transplant.
Okay. Sorry,
Flora. That's okay, Flora. Such a presence. And what you do about seeds is you never hold them by the heads.
Okay.
Never. Because once you pull them up by the heads, if you snap off that the little leafy part, that's it. They don't put on another leaf. They always start with baby leaves. They're called cotyledons. And then they go to the real leaves. And only until they get their real leaf do you want to mess with transplanting. They're too neonatal before that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all of my seeds just have baby leaves right
That's
now.
Okay.
The
That's
tomatoes
okay.
are getting good and high. I'd good. Say they're maybe 3 to 4 inches tall now.
Do they have more than a baby leaf?
No.
They need more light.
Oh, okay.
That's what you call getting leggy.
Oh, okay.
They're reaching for the sun. Now, the good thing about tomatoes getting leggy is when you finally transplant your tomato into a 4-inch pot before it's warm enough, you can sink it down to the very top leaves. And then when you transplant it outside, you sink it down again to the very top leaves, take off all the leaves of the stem, all of them, and sink it down to the very tippy top leaves, because wow, the stem grows roots, and that way you get one heck of a strong plant.
That's so cool.
Yes. So tomatoes are great for legginess if you have to have legginess.
Okay.
But put a grow light on those suckers.
Yeah, I have a couple grow lights.
I remember you did.
Yeah, I'll set those up.
Yeah, and really close in. Okay. Put them on your plants because you're not getting enough light for them to not reach for it.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, they're in a southern window, but they're not pushed all the way up against. So, you know, I can also readjust and push them up closer.
Grow lights would be probably more better.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And that's easy.
It is easy. So I wanted to talk to you today about a couple of things.
Okay.
About the different, let's call them, labels of plants, seeds and plants. You know, there's annuals and perennials. When I first started, I didn't know the difference.
So I always get these mixed up because I feel like it's a little counterintuitive.
Okay.
So annuals only come up once, right?
Yes, right.
It's like the opposite. And right? Because like, oh, I do this annually.
Yes.
I do this once a year.
That's right. You have to plant a new seed once a year.
Oh, well, I never thought of it that way.
Okay.
I always thought of it as like the plant does something once a year. Like
it does. It grows from a baby seed to a whole tomato.
That's impressive.
That's why you have to feed it and care for it and train it and look after it. They're sprinters. They're annuals and they're sprinters. And every year, annually, you have to replant.
Got it.
Perennials keep going on and on and on. The biggest perennial are trees.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So for 5 seconds, I want to say that when you plant a tree, to anybody out there who's thinking about planting trees,
do it.
Very, very soon. And think 5 times before you plant it, because trees don't like to be moved.
Yeah.
You're going to plant it once and that's it. And you're going to have to live with it there unless you cut it down and break your heart.
Yeah.
Or it dies and it breaks your heart.
Planting a tree is like a once in a lifetime type thing, right? Like you plant a tree. Well, it's once in a lifetime for the tree, I guess,
and,
obviously. But like it's so
and
permanent.
It's also, it is very permanent. And so if you want a tree-lined street and you own the street, knock yourself out. Make sure that there's room for sidewalks. Make sure that there's room for not going under the houses. You don't want to plant it too close to a house. You really don't want to plant a tree too close to a house.
Yes.
And too close is 10 feet mm-hmm. minimum.
Minimum.
Maybe
because
15 or 20 feet, depending on the tree.
Yeah.
If it's a little ornamental cherry tree, 15 feet is good. If it's an oak, you need to back that baby up 25 feet.
Oh, yeah. It breaks my heart when I'm showing houses and there is a gorgeous 150-year-old maple. And it is just, it's so beautiful and it's spreading these stunning branches and it has like this full bough
and its crown, and its
leaves are just gorgeous and it's right over the roof and the roof needs to be replaced and it's stained and we go inside and there's water damage mm-hmm. and people say, oh, well, that maple needs to come down. Ugh. It just, oh my God, it crushes me. So don't plant your trees close to your house because
and also you can
it
take
causes
off
pain.
That's right. And you can also take off the branches that mm-hmm. are overhanging the house. You don't have to get rid of the whole maple.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's home to birds and all kinds yes. of critters. Yes. So, and it's also, you know, if it's facing south or east or west, it's also heat regulating.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cut down on your air conditioning bill in summer.
Yes, absolutely. I've also heard that trees, like they did a study, and I think this was in like city neighborhoods that had trees. This was like a Portland, Oregon study because Portland, Oregon
has a lot of trees.
Has a lot of trees. They've done excellent work with their city planning.
Yeah.
And it is, I think, like 5 to 7 degrees cooler where there yeah. are trees.
And also trees talk to each other. So when yeah. you plant and cut down a tree, or you plant two trees and you cut down one, the other one goes through mourning. It does. I know that sounds really stupid and woo-woo.
No,
but it does.
At all. Yeah.
You've just lost its best friend. And yeah. the second tree suffers because of it sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes it grows because it's been crowded, but sometimes it doesn't. And there are long-lived trees. They call them lived, not lived. Long-lived trees and short-lived trees, like the poplar. The poplar is a very short-lived tree,
I had no idea.
It shoots up quick, really quick. Mm-hmm. So if you need, let's say you need privacy in your backyard. You can plant poplar trees on both sides so your neighbors can't see you. And within, just a short amount of time, 5 years, you've got a serious, serious privacy fence.
Wow.
But in 15 years, they're going to start dying.
Oh.
Because that's their life. But if you're smart, you plant something in front of the poplar, you know, a few feet off from it, that will grow more slowly, like firs or pines, that will last 100 years.
That makes so much sense. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have a blank spot where we can see right into the neighbor's backyard.
Yeah.
And what really annoys me about these previous owners is there are, I'd say, probably 5 big stumps in our backyard.
Uh-huh. In your backyard.
And in our backyard. And some of them are over by this gap by the neighbor. And some of them, you know, they're in the very, very backyard. They're way over by the back fence. You know, they're a half acre away from us.
Yeah.
So I have no idea why they cut these beautiful trees down.
They probably wanted sun. It is sad. It is sad, but
but then I also told you about my willow. That's the stump that just keeps going.
Have you decided to chop off all of the other ones except for the one willow that's going well?
I started pruning it. We haven't done much with it. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it. It is sad. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
When you don't know what to do about something, don't do anything. Just don't do anything for a while. If it's in your way, figure out a way to tie it up so that it doesn't smack you in the face every time you pass it.
No, it's not. It's not in the way. It's just like a big bush.
Okay. Well, you can always trim the bush down. It'll get bushier because of that. Mm-hmm. But you can always trim the bush down to where it's somewhat manageable and wrap a couple of strings around it. You know. So what's wrong?
Tika's on the counter.
Oh, I hate that when Tika's on the counter.
Forrest. Tika, get down. Get down. Okay. We're back.
Okay. So wrap a string or two around it so that it keeps its distance from your face as you're passing it. What I've discovered when I don't know what I want, when I haven't made up my mind, when I'm in indecision, and this goes for almost... whether it's gardening or interior decorating or career building, is do nothing for a little while and just sleep on it and sit on it and wait. Eventually, the gods that be will tell you. They will give you the idea of what to do. They will give you the idea of, oh, That would be cool. I mean, it's willow. You and I have talked about willow water, and I will tell everybody that you could cut off those branches. You don't have to strip them. Mm-hmm. Cut off those branches, wrap them up so that they fit into a big bottle, a big one, or a big bowl, or some big bucket. And in that bucket, then, you can fill with water and let it sit for a week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then as it sits, it'll get filled with willow essence and willow DNA. Mm-hmm. And willow makes everything grow. So then you strain out the willow branches and you've got this killer water. And then when you want to root something, let's say you've got
a rose.
Or better still, you know, you can buy basil at the store.
Yeah. Yep.
With the stems. Well, did you know that, you know, and you use half of it. The other half, you pull off the bottom leaves, you stick those stems into that willow water, and it will root, and then you can plant it.
I love that. Because also, every time I buy store basil, it dies. And it dies this slow, sad death, and it makes me so sad sitting on the counter just like, bleh. I had a friend just ask me, this past week to go help, go to Lowe's with her to help her pick out, gardening stuff.
How fun is that?
I have loved the feedback that we're getting on our, Facebook from the posts. All of my friends have been like reaching out and so happy and so excited about the podcast. I think it's, I don't know. It's really validating. I think we're doing something really cool. What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Willow.
Willow. Yes.
So then you can root anything in it. It's kind of like magic water. I mean, you could sell the stuff. You've got so much willow in your backyard. You could make willow water and sell it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or just give it away. You know, it's a beautiful present. So there are short-lived and long-lived trees. There are short-lived and long-lived perennials as well. And then there's the tender perennial and a hardy perennial. Now, this gets into zones a little bit. A tender perennial is something that will maybe live in a little bit colder climate than maybe, like snapdragons. They like the cold.
Yes.
And poppies that will reseed. But if you put a begonia in your yard, you know, just a regular, everyday little begonia in your yard, and expect it to overwinter, even though it's a perennial, because if you take it in, it would continue to grow. Most anything would if you take it into the heat. But outside, if you take a begonia in, it will survive and grow and do well the next year. If you take in a geranium, same thing. Mm-hmm. Those are called tender perennials. A hardy perennial is something like the, did I say that backwards? A hardy perennial is something like the poppies and the foxgloves are a biennial, snapdragons and things like that.
Got it. That makes sense. Yes, hardy versus tender.
Right. And so when you look at some really unusual plant in your nursery, read the tag. If you don't know what it is, if it's not familiar to you, and make sure it doesn't say tender perennial. Mm-hmm. Because in a hard winter, that's AKA, that's an annual. Or you have to bring it in.
Got it. Yes. So you need to also plan for the space in your porch or your living room or some, you know, enclosed, mostly heated space so that it can weather well.
Yeah.
And like a lemon tree almost.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. And good luck with the planning, because I don't know one gardener. Not one good gardener that ever plans for how many plants they have to bring in. They're always overrun.
Yes. And you never plan for how much they're going to grow.
No.
And repotting them.
Yes.
All of that. Yes. Yes.
So also there's something called a herbaceous perennial versus a woody one.
Now, oh my goodness. Okay.
I know this is really
I love the word herbaceous.
Herbaceous. Herbaceous means that it goes it drops down and goes dormant in the winter, and it comes up and it's green stalks and they don't get woody.
Oh.
They're
like herbs. They're herbaceous.
They're like yes, they're herbaceous. They're like herbs. So like a dahlia, it doesn't get woody.
Okay. Okay.
Peonies.
Or black-eyed Susans, right?
Yes.
They come up each year and then die back.
Yes.
Okay.
But a woody one would be...
hydrangea, right?
Yes. Hydrangeas are a good one. So would be azaleas. And so, you know, I mean, they go dormant. Mm-hmm. The other ones, rhododendron.
Mm-hmm.
They get a woody stem. And while they may drop all their leaves, which is called deciduous, and it's okay if you don't know all the words, you'll learn them in time.
Yeah.
I didn't know half the words. When I went to the Chelsea Flower Show, I was such an idiot. I didn't know half the names in Latin. And here were all these English people that were so well-educated, spouting off Latin like they were in church. It was unbelievable. I was so lost.
Enough Latin to raise a portal to hell.
And you know when you learn the Latin is when you buy the plant.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It's a bunch of sounds. Mm-hmm. Then you look at the plant and you see if it can live in your zone. And you go home and you find one and you buy it. And then suddenly it's Latin. It's the name of it. And you know it. And I don't know why that is, but you learn them.
Mm-hmm. You still have to pay attention to that, though.
Yes.
Because I know plenty of lovely plant owners who go home and figure out what their plant likes one way or another and name it Steve. You know?
Okay.
And there are plenty of us like that, too. And
yes. Yes. And Steve's a fine name.
I can't even remember the name that I gave the plant. I think I have 6 Steves, and I just keep forgetting that they're all named Steve, and so the next plant is Steve, you know?
Well, you'll figure it out sooner or later.
I'll figure it out. I need to pay more attention to the Latin.
My father always wanted me to take Latin, and I thought, oh my God, how boring would that be? But it comes in handy.
Yeah. So did you take Latin?
No. But I learned a little bit, like albus means white.
No way. Like Albus Dumbledore.
Albus Dumbledore. So there are little things that you learn along the way that mean something in Latin that gives you the idea of what the plant is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So... And there are some plant places where all they have are the names of the plants or the seeds that you can buy.
Oh, no, that's pictures. Scary. Oh.
And they're all in Latin.
Oh, so that's so scary.
Well, you have to look them up. And sooner or later, you know, you'll see that this means this and this means that. And it takes years and it's okay. It's part of your education. It's like learning to read, you know? You don't learn the whole alphabet in one day. You don't remember that you don't, but you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You think that 26 letters is easy and you'll have it down pat. Yeah. I wonder if that's what the gardening exhibition is going to be like, all Latin that I am going to go to next weekend.
Well, the good news is about most plants is that they also have a common name.
Yes.
Like foxglove, that's a common name. Mm-hmm. Its Latin name is digitalis. So it will say foxglove and it will say under it usually digitalis.
Digitalis sounds so much cooler.
And it doesn't matter that you don't know either one of them. Once you buy it, you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Once you buy it, you've got a stake in the game.
Yeah.
And your girlfriend comes over and goes, oh my God, what's that? It's gorgeous. And you say, oh, that's a foxglove.
Oh, this is my digitalis.
Yeah. And digitalis also means that it'll something like stop the heart or something. That's due to my lack of chemistry. Yes, it's poisonous. They make some pill for the heart out of it. And too much of it will kill you.
Beware of gardeners, people. You heard it here really. First.
Be nice to your gardeners. Oh, I'm telling you. Almost as bad as a psychic. You know, you don't want to tick off your psychic or your gardener.
Oh, no.
So.
We can kill you 27 ways with three different plants.
And you'd never know.
You'd never know. Untraceable.
So when you open up a book, a gardening book, and you see this beautiful gardening bed full of these beautiful flowers, and it says it's a mixed border.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's got different flowers in it. It means it's got annuals, perennials, bulbs. It's got, it's got woody. It's got herbaceous. It's mixed up all those ways. Wow. Usually it has trees. It has shrubs. It has all these different things going for it. If you open up a book and you see a bed full of impatience, that's an annual border. Mm-hmm. They die.
Yeah.
Or marigolds. And a friend of mine used to say, that looks like a filling station.
Because you have to do it over and over and over again.
And the fancy filling stations used to plant, you know, a bunch of annuals in a little pocket around their filling station to make them look pretty.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do that. Out here in the West, it's getting dry, so they don't do that as much.
Why is it bad to plant annuals where it's dry?
It's not bad if you have the water, because flowers take more water than trees, let's say.
Okay.
Although grass takes more water than flowers. So if you really want to do yourself a favor, rip out your lawns.
Yes.
If you want to do the earth a favor, plant trees and rip out your lawns.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I've actually been playing around with is not mowing the back third of our yard. Now, we have nasty, nasty ticks. And with the swamp just beyond the fence.
You're going to have nasty mosquitoes, too.
We have nasty mosquitoes. And I know that not maintaining the back of the yard will make the bug situation worse.
Yes.
But it would be better for the earth, and we're getting chickens, which are excellent bug killers.
I thought you were going to plant your garden in the back third, your vegetable garden in the back third.
Well, there isn't enough sun back there. It's very shady and it's very swampy back there. So it might be good for more water hungry, more thirsty plants. I don't know why I have the idea that asparagus is good in water. Is that true? Or am I making that up?
Well, I've known that people that have flooded their asparagus fields once or twice during the growing season. I wouldn't recommend it for that. I would recommend more more water-loving plants. I wish you were here. I would give you some filipendula.
What's that?
It's a pretty flower. It's a perennial. You can buy astilbe, A-S-T-I-L-B-E. That's okay. You can, I'll send it to you, sweetheart.
Okay.
It loves water.
Okay. Okay.
All right. But if I were you, I would buy some, I don't know what they call them, mosquito drop things that you can drop into a pond, and it kills all the mosquito larvae.
Huh.
So I would drop several of those in that pond back behind your house.
Okay. Our downstairs neighbor is in pest control also.
Oh, which perfect.
Is very handy.
Yeah.
And what he's been doing is he has this natural bug repellent. I think there's like oregano and other things in it.
And cinnamon and yes.
Yeah, cinnamon. And it's like this little, it's like sand, but it's made out of, you know,
Yeah.
All of the things. And he just throws handfuls, has been throwing handfuls around the yard.
Good.
So hopefully that will help.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah,
and then,
do.
There was something else. That's okay. Just went out of my head. I don't know.
That's okay. When you get it back, you'll let me know. So that's what's called a mixed border. It's got everything in it. Annuals, perennials, bulbs, herbaceous, woody, and trees.
That sounds so like plentiful and busy, and like you just can't take your eyes off that. You know, that sounds so much more interesting than just looking at a bed of pansies.
Yes. Well, it is, but it's also five times the work.
Is it?
Because, oh gosh, yes, because you've got to plant the annuals at a certain time. And if you buy your annuals, that's one thing. And then you go and you stick them in the ground if you've got enough energy. I've been buying annuals for 10 years that I'm here to cover the second part of the growing season. I buy zinnias and cosmos so that when the salvia goes back, or the daisies die down, or the delphiniums die down, and the dahlias aren't quite up yet, I want something blooming there to look at for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And I have yet to get them in because I'm always so tired. But I have too big a garden, as we all well know.
Yes.
But you can do that. And like I said, seeds are timing. If you buy a package of seeds, you're going to pay, let's say, $1.79 for a bunch of zinnias. Mm-hmm. And you seed them up and you seed them up late because you don't need them out there starting until late June.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you can seed them up in May and they like the heat and it's all okay. You could almost keep them outside if it wasn't for the slugs. And then you, about the time that they are getting ready to go into a 4-inch pot, you can just slip them into the ground.
Yes.
With a whole bunch of manure.
We love
manure. Because they need serious food. You are asking an annual to do its thing all in one season.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. So you got to do that. So that's called, and a herbaceous border is one with no annuals. So you time it. There are things that bloom early, like, let me think. What's it called? Hearts, the hanging hearts. I can't think of the name of it. Dicentra.
Yes. Bleeding hearts.
Bleeding heart. That's it.
Yes. I love those. So pretty.
I know. Aren't they beautiful?
I thought those were perennials.
They are. Okay. A herbaceous border is all perennials.
Right. Yes.
And it's all green, so it's all going to die back in the fall or in late fall. So you don't have anything much to look at. That's why people started putting in some evergreens. And you know that one of the great English writers, Christopher Lloyd, said, evergreens give your eye a rest after all the chaos of the color of the flowers. So sometimes it's kind of like a sherbet course, you know, a cleansing course between fancy schmancy dinner courses.
Yes.
So evergreens give your eye a rest, or a border of boxwood, let's say, very, very, very English. Mm-hmm. So you're not looking at ugly ground when you've got an herbaceous border. You're looking at a row of boxwood that you cut and it's pretty and the snow piles on it and it's lovely and you've got pretty all year round.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just, it's green and it's there and it's fresh looking. And you don't have to take care of it and worry about the timing and it's going to be dead and ugly in 3 weeks.
Yeah. What you do have to worry about is cutting it a couple of times a year and shaping it, but that's okay. Feeding it.
Yes.
And making sure that its roots don't get tramped on by the plants that you're planting too close to it.
Right. Right.
The other thing, and it's expensive. Boxwood's expensive. Mm-hmm. So, you want to do that to a home you're going to stick around in for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, the Greeks plant their flowers and their vegetables together.
I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that because it's, you know, it's just kind of like it would be in nature, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not, but, you know.
Oh, it is, though.
Let's plan, you know, for this to be beautiful, functional, delicious, all of the wonderful things that you want.
And it encourages bees, which encourages pollination, and it encourages beauty. You're not just looking at, you know, five tomato plants that are scrawny.
Yeah.
You know.
Straggly. And I've
straggly
heard that
or scrawny.
The ones that are just on the edge of death produce the best tomatoes.
When you stress a tomato is when it starts producing. Mm. So if you're over, oh, and you don't want to ever overwater your tomatoes.
Huh. Okay.
In California, it got to 120 every day in summer. We had to water our tomatoes every day just to keep them alive.
Whoa.
When we got to Oregon, we were watering them every day. And I'm telling, it was 80 degrees or 85. And they were the worst tomatoes ever.
Oh, how disappointing. That's
it was
awful.
So bad.
You're in the breadbasket of America.
I know.
You think
I'm
you're
going to
grow the best tomatoes ever. And they're just... Oh, they're just sad and droopy.
We had to learn to water them once a week.
Wow. Because the ground is so wet?
Because the temperatures didn't get hot, and it didn't dehydrate the plant. It didn't dehydrate the plant, and it didn't get so cold at night that it didn't freeze it by any stretch, but it didn't shock it either.
Yes.
So, but because it didn't get 120, the ground didn't dry out as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I had tomatoes that didn't set tomatoes. I had tomato plants that didn't set fruit for 2 months.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was happy growing leaves and doing its thing. And so all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, everybody else got at least little green tomatoes on theirs. I got zip. And somebody said, Rebecca, how often do you water it? And I told them, and they laughed at me and said, you fool. And I felt like one. And they said, I water mine once a week. You have to stress the tomato for it to set fruit. It needs to set, in order for it to feel like it's endangered, and it better start producing seeds for the next year to save its progeny, it needs to be stressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you will find your own way. Ask tomato growers in your area how often you should water. And of course, you get rain.
Yes.
In Oregon, we don't get rain for July and August and half of September. So we have to guess and decide. You get rain. Missouri has the best tomatoes I've ever known. And it's because their humidity is so high and they get hot and horrible. It's a horrible atmosphere for everything but tomatoes. But oh my God, I would kill for their tomatoes.
New York is similar. I mean, you're swimming in the summertime. It's like, am I breathing or am I swimming? I didn't realize that I could grow gills, you know, but I kind of feel like I have to.
Oh God, honey, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well,
but
it's okay.
I'm not, because your tomatoes are going to be killer.
It's also supposedly really good for the skin. It's like a constant spa treatment. So, you know.
Yeah, I know.
For all of the people in high humidity, just think about the lack of wrinkles that you'll have.
And you don't have a problem getting up early.
I don't, no.
The best time to garden in your area, I would think, would be early morning, just after sunrise, when you can see what you're doing, but it's still cool.
Yes. Yes. I think that's going to be a necessity in the summertime.
I think it is too. And then you can, you know, just sit back and drink lemonade the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
It also works great for my schedule too.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, do you know the difference between determinate and indeterminate in a tomato?
I have no idea.
Okay. I didn't know that either when I first started growing tomatoes. I had to look it up.
So, is that like male and female?
No.
Okay.
It's like, am I going to grow to 8 feet tall and never stop? Or am I going to stop at 4 feet and produce one great, great big giant harvest and then kind of putter out? A determinate tomato does that. A 4-foot tomato, Okay. 3 to 4 feet. That means that you can put them in a pot.
Okay. Okay. Would cherry tomatoes be determinant then?
Some are, some aren't. You have to you have to look at the labels.
Okay.
Some are.
Yeah.
And they tend to produce one huge crop.
Mm-hmm.
I liked to find determinate tomatoes that were Romas. Because then I produced, you know, I got all my Romas kind of at the same time. Mm-hmm. And they kind of petered out eventually, but they give me, you know, more and more for a while. An indeterminate tomato, you need to stake with all you've got. I'm not joking. I use T-bars and fencing.
Wow. And
I don't use two T-bars. I mean, I don't use one. I use two on either side of the fencing. And I get those suckers around there, and and my tomatoes grow 8 feet, 9 feet tall, bend oh over God. The 6 foot fence.
Monsters.
Monsters.
It's like and Godzilla.
You can do that too. You know, it depends on what you put in the ground with the tomato plant. Mm-hmm. Most people put a $5 plant in a 50 cent hole.
Mm-hmm.
Do the opposite.
Got it.
Put a 50 cent plant in a $5 hole, and you'll have more tomatoes than you know what to do with, or more flowers than you know what to do with.
Yeah.
Spend your money on the soil.
Get good dirt.
Great dirt.
Great dirt.
Because remember, they're annuals. They're going to go as long as the weather permits, but you're asking it to grow from a seed to feeding your family for weeks.
Yeah. I mean, that is crazy. That is, you know, going to college at 12 kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you want indeterminate, and they will start producing, and they will go, here they produce, because it doesn't get hot enough till September. Mm-hmm. But there, it gets hot. You're going to probably have, I mean, everybody out here kind of jokes and brags if they get a tomato by the 4th of July.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. But if you are back there, I'm going to die to know when you get your first ripe tomato. I want a full report,
because
I'm going to be gardening through proxy through you. And you get killer tomatoes, and the more you pick, the more they they'll bloom.
I love it. I love it. Yes.
And please know that you'll always throw away more tomatoes sometimes than you'll harvest. Mm-hmm. You miss them. Or there'll be bugs, or there'll be blossom end rot.
And those they'll go to the groundhog and my compost, right?
There you go. Blossom end rot can be fixed with lime in the hole.
Okay.
It's the easiest thing in the world. Do not fail to put lime in the hole. And you put, for a tomato plant,
a handful?
An eighth of a cup.
Oh, so not much. That's like,
not
what,
much.
Two tablespoons.
Yeah. 2 tablespoons, 3 tablespoons, around
and,
in that.
And you mix and it in.
Mix it in with the manure. And I put manure in mine because I don't want a scrawny tomato plant. Now, I've just said that I have trouble setting the fruit. But I also have my tomatoes growing until late in the year because they have a lot of leaves. And, you know, sometimes, and we don't get frost here until sometimes late November.
Yeah.
So my tomatoes produce for a long period of time. Now, this comes into where I wanted to talk to you more about walls of water, because you can set your tomato plants out early with walls of water, not have them frost over, and get more tomatoes earlier.
Yes. Yes. That sounds like a really good idea.
It is. Plant them on a fine day. Mm-hmm. Fill them up with water and make sure that they're slightly closed so that no frost can get into them. And then make sure that you water them when they get dry. You got to keep an eye on them. And you'll be home free. I mean, you'll be having 4 foot tomatoes by the end of May or beginning of June. People will be so jealous if you got your tomato plant started in April. So that's annuals, perennials, woody perennials, hardy perennials. I think that's it for today. That's a full load of a mess of stuff. So I think that's enough information to kind of scatter everybody's brains for a while. I love everyone who's watching and hearing, and I'm hoping that you'll visit our website, which Haunt is going to get up really, really soon. And I don't know what it means to do that, but there it is. And Elizabeth is frozen. I think that's just because she's her internet went out. And I hope that you all have a great, great week gardening. We'll talk to you soon, and tune in for the next episode. Thanks. Bye.
Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related, our website at gardeningrelated.com, and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions, buy supplies, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
Oh, I like that.